Good morning. I'd like to talk with you this morning about a sometimes overlooked apostle. When we sing the song of the disciples or the apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know a lot about Peter, we know a lot about James, we know a lot about John, but what do we know about Andrew? You could say that he is an overlooked apostle, one that we have a small bit of information that's given to us about him. We know a lot about Peter and Paul, James and John. But there's very few verses that talk about this apostle. We don't have any writings from him. We don't have examples of what he did when he was in Jerusalem in Acts. But there's things that we can still learn from this apostle. I want to consider a few things with you this morning and look at what the Holy Spirit has revealed about him. In the scripture reading this morning, John chapter 1, we learn that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. So he was one that was always concerned about the truth. John the Baptist was the one that recognized Jesus as being the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ that prepared the way for Jesus. And he came baptizing, preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sin. And John had his disciples, and Andrew was one of them. If you look in John chapter 1 and verse 37, John chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. In verse 40, it reveals more to us about this. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So one of these two that was following was Andrew, Peter's brother. So Andrew followed John the Baptist. Why? Because he was concerned about the truth. He spent time with John the Baptist here as John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. So he's one that's looking for the Messiah. And looking at the text here, you can say that he is really one of the first apostles to find Jesus. And Andrew is going to leave things behind to follow Christ. Look over in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Matthew 4, 18 and 19. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Of course, the text goes on and tells us that they did that. They went and they followed Jesus. They left behind their livelihood and went and followed Jesus, just as Jesus told them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So they're leaving behind what they have to follow Christ. And we also see from other passages that Andrew was one that was always seeking to learn more. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. Matthew 24, 1 through 3. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that they shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And so Andrew is present here, always seeking to learn more. In Mark chapter 13, we see another account of the same event. Mark 13, 1 and 2. He went out of the temple. One of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, what manner of stones and what buildings are here?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another and shall not be thrown down." Andrew is one that has a thirst for knowledge, and he wants to know the truth. And the question is, do we have the same kind of thirst and knowledge for the truth? Andrew wants to know, as do some of the other disciples. They want to know as much as possible about Jesus. Years ago, when my father was preaching in Dothan, there was a young man named Kevin Fox that my dad had studies with. He was not a Christian. He was there as a college student doing an internship. And as my dad was teaching him, Kevin was saying, "That's the things that you're telling me are not, you know, what I've heard from my preacher. So I'd like to get you to talk to my preacher so we can figure this out." My dad said, "Well, I'd be glad to talk to him if you'd like." And so Kevin did that. He got my dad and this preacher together. And Kevin described the event as he didn't understand. He really didn't understand what the things they were talking about because they were back and forth. He said, "I felt like I was at a tennis match, just going back and forth. And he didn't catch everything that was being said, but he had a thirst for the truth. In fact, you know, weeks later, as my father studied with him, Kevin got in trouble at work because he wasn't working. He was reading his Bible instead of working. And he's telling my dad, "You know, I really want to study. I really want to learn. And, you know, they're telling me not to read my Bible." And my dad said, "Well, you know, they have a point. They're paying you to do a job here, and you need to give your time to this employer, and you need to be reading on your own time." But he didn't want to discourage him from reading, but he also wanted to encourage him to do proper work for his employer. But the point I'm making here is this is not kind of a story that you hear a lot, that somebody gets in trouble at work for reading the Bible because they're not working, because he had a hunger for it. He wanted to learn more. He had enough interest in learning more about Jesus that he was making time to do that. He was actually taking time away from his employer to do it. But he wanted to learn. And Andrew is one that has a thirst for truth and knowledge about Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 encourages us to have a desire for the Word, where it tells us to lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking as newborn babes. Desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So this is implying that one that gets to know Jesus has a desire to learn more. And a baby is going to desire food, and they're going to tell you when they need it. And there's no secret about that. They are very noisy when they want food, because it's something that they need, it's something that they crave. And as Christians, we should want that. We should want the Word. Andrew was searching for the truth and seeking to learn it, everything that he could learn about Jesus Christ. Not one that would just do the bare minimum, as sometimes we do. Andrew also is one that we can learn from, as he brought others to Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42, please read with me there. John 1, 29 through 42, we see that Andrew brought his brother to find Jesus. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water.'" And so when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he announces who Jesus is. And whoever else was with John knows, because John is proclaiming that. He's announcing that. "And John bore witness," verse 32, "saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.' Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to him, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, 'Teacher,' 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ, and brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. And so we learn from this account that Andrew brought his brother, Peter, Simon Peter, to find Jesus. Andrew went to Peter and told him that this is the Messiah. And so when we think about how significant this is, you know, we know a lot about Peter. We know so much about him. Probably the only person that we know as much about is Paul. We know about Peter. We know what his role was. We know how Peter put his foot in his mouth a lot of times and said the wrong things. He's very enthusiastic. And we also know in Acts chapter 10 the big role that Peter had in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles as he preached to the household of Cornelius, and that household was baptized and was saved. We know so much about him. We know about the mistakes that he made. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23, we see Jesus predicting that the disciples are going to betray him. Verse 21, "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men.'" And so Peter here arguing with Jesus when Jesus says, "Here's what's going to happen to me." And Peter said, "No, that's not going to happen to you." And so, you know, Peter here making this mistake, makes other mistakes, denies Christ, and he even makes mistakes after the death of Christ when he has to be called down by Paul for playing the hypocrite with the Jews and the Gentiles. But you look at the life of Peter and the things that he did and how significant he was and what a great role he played in spreading the gospel. Here is the one that brought him to Jesus, his brother, Andrew. These things might not have happened if it wasn't for Andrew, who went to him and said, "We found the Messiah." He was the one that was enthusiastic about what they had seen. And so Andrew is not talked about a lot, but he played a big role in the life of his brother Peter. And it kind of begs the question for us, what kind of role do we play in the lives of others? What kind of role do we play in the lives of those in our family members? From this apostle that, you know, kind of forgotten a little bit out in the wings that we don't see or mention a whole lot, we see the power of inviting others, having an influence on others like he did in the life of his brother Peter. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, we see Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius was waiting for them and he called together his relatives and close friends. You see the power that Cornelius had in his family. Cornelius brought together his family and close friends so that they could hear the words that Peter was going to come and speak to them. Verse 48 of that same chapter, it says, "Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay for a few days." So here is the power of one that brings in a lot of others. And so Andrew is not mentioned a whole lot in the Gospels, but we see the big role that he had in the life of his brother, and we see all the things that came to play as a part of that. We need to see that same kind of influence. We need to realize the role that we can play and the influence that we can have simply by being an influence and inviting others and teaching others and bringing them to Christ. And we also see in the life of Andrew is he's one that also had doubts as many of the disciples did. Look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 verses 1 through 9. "After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near, And Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" When I was growing up, we had to clean the house on Saturday, and we all had our jobs to do. And my mom would give the bathroom the white glove treatment after I was finished cleaning. And one reason that we cleaned the house on Saturday, because you never knew who it was that my dad might invite over to the house. If there was some visitor that came to services, you would know that my dad would ask them over. And you know what my mom did? You know, she knew that this might happen, and so they were prepared to do that. You know, she always had a lasagna out in the freezer or something, you know, that she had prepared. So any time somebody might come over, she was prepared to do that. But here we have a situation where people are not prepared. Have a situation, they have all these people to feed, and Jesus said, "What are we going to do about food?" Well, Jesus knew what they were going to do about food. He said this to test them. But you see what Andrew said in verse 8. "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Well, he's absolutely right. You know, unless these people just are really finicky eaters and they're just going to take a little pinch of fish and a pinch of bread, that's not going to be enough to feed this multitude. So, Andrew was one that had been around Jesus. In fact, when you look back at the beginning of our reading here, we see that the multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Now, if Jesus could heal those who were diseased, could he take care of the food? Well, I think so. But you know, sometimes people are so laser focused on one thing. And here Andrew has been following Jesus and has seen the things that Jesus can do. And here there's just a little bit of food. What are we going to do? We're not going to have enough to feed them. Maybe he just wasn't focused on what he had seen Jesus do in the past and lost sight of that. I don't think Andrew had doubts about who Jesus was. We see back at the beginning of our readings today that he recognizes who Jesus is, that he's the Messiah. He wants his brother to know who the Messiah is. But here is a situation where he doubts his power or doesn't think about his power. How could Jesus feed so many people with so little food? And I think it's just a reminder that, like Andrew, we can be the same way. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We've read the testimony of His life. But sometimes people can have doubts creep in. Sometimes we need to be reminded of who Jesus is and the things that He did. And the disciples who had witnessed so many things that Jesus had did, they needed to remember that. How do you think Andrew would have responded after seeing 5,000 people fed? Well, those doubts would have been washed away. And when we have doubts that creep into our minds, we can read the same miracles of Jesus, be reminded of His power. Jesus says that He will take care of us and that we don't need to worry. But people will forget about who they have. They'll forget about the power of prayer. They'll forget about the hope that they have in eternity, because they're so laser focused on the trouble that's at hand. And Andrew did that in this case. Well, how are we going to feed these people? Well, that's not a problem for Jesus. We need to believe in God. We need to believe what Jesus says. And we need to fully trust Him. But I think it's certainly useful for us to realize that even the disciples, the apostles, had doubts at times, as we do. And one thing that I think is very significant about Andrew is that he did not need the spotlight to work, because he wasn't in the spotlight. And his brother ended up being in the spotlight. It's Andrew that brought Peter to the Lord. And Andrew saw what happened. Peter ended up having a much more prominent role among the apostles and in the establishment of the church. We're always referring to Peter's lesson on the day of Pentecost. How might some people respond to this kind of thing? I've seen in the business world sometimes there'll be somebody that hires a person because that person has good references, they've got a good resume, they've come highly recommended, and that person is brought in, and they end up having a more prominent role than the person that hired them. And that person is, hey, I'm the one that brought him here. Everything that he's doing, I should get credit for because I'm responsible. He wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. Andrew seems to be a quiet leader that didn't need the spotlight. John chapter 12, verse 20 says, there were certain Greeks among those who came to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. This small little event here where we see Andrew involved, bringing Jesus to those that want to be able to see Him. Doesn't need the spotlight. Don't see a hint of pride in Andrew with the fact that his brother was the one that was in the public eye. The last time that we read about Andrew in the Scriptures is in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. When they entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. It's the last time we see him mentioned. And of course, this is right before Peter becomes the focal point. It's all about Peter. And that's okay. Andrew was a humble man, as were the other apostles that did what they needed to do, and they followed Jesus. But make no mistake, we see that Andrew played an important role in bringing his brother to Christ, and he's also playing an important role in the church, as are these other apostles. Do we need to be out front to be a worker? Do we need to be the primary person? Do we need to be the one that has the preeminence? He didn't need that. And we all play different roles. You know, when I was in band, I wasn't always as good as Ethan. Well, I never was as good as Ethan. But I was first chair for a while. But you know, there were times in junior high that I was not playing first. I was playing second. I was playing third. But you know, if you go to a concert and everybody's playing first trumpet, it doesn't sound right. It takes first, second, and third trumpet for the music to sound right. It takes first, second, and third trombone. It takes everybody having their part. Some parts are more preeminent than others. But to have that beautiful harmony, it takes everybody working together and not paying attention to what somebody else is doing or being jealous of what somebody else has. You know, Andrew, if he's focused on his brother and focused on what his brother is getting and the preeminence that he has, he's not getting anything done. We need to understand when it comes to the work of the Lord that it takes everybody doing their part. And whatever your role is, you do it and you do it well. And do it with all your might. And work as though you're working for the Lord. if we're concerned with having the preeminence, if we are concerned with getting credit, then it's about self. And it's not about Christ. And it allows the devil to creep in and win. When we have to be the one that gets all the glory, it's not about who's receiving accolades. It's about giving glory to God. It's not giving glory to ourselves. So we don't really see a whole lot about Andrew in the Scriptures, but I think those things really help us to understand the kind of person that he was, because we see that he's always there, but he's not the preeminent one. It didn't have to be. That's what we know about Andrew. That's what we need to do. Andrew may be referred to as kind of the overlooked apostle, but the truth is that everything that he did was not overlooked. Wasn't overlooked by God. He may not be the one that we hear a lot of lessons on, but God didn't overlook him because he knew who his Savior was. He knew who Jesus Christ was. He paid honor to Christ and he brought others to Christ. And that's a great example for us. So we need to be the same way. Let's make sure that we live in such a way we will not be overlooked. We may be overlooked in the eyes of men, but we don't want to be overlooked in the eyes of God, and we won't be if we have the same type of faith that Andrew did. I hope these things will be an encouragement to you. The way not to be overlooked is to do what Andrew's brother said on the day of Pentecost, when those that realized that they were lost knew that they needed to do something about it. They said, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them what to do. Then they understood that they need to be buried in baptism, arise to walk a new life. If you haven't done that or have done that but haven't been faithful and need to be restored, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.